Hey, Toronto, welcome to How's the Market Podcast. I'm Dave.
I'm Kate. Yeah, welcome. Happy spring. Happy April. We're about halfway through. Market's been moving. A lot of things changing.
Is it a happy April, though?
It's pretty dreary outside, but we got a couple nice days. The patio weather, it's coming. I can feel
summer's it. Summer's already gone. It was that short little...
Don't say that. No. I'll be okay. So sad. But yeah, we have a lot of interesting things to talk about today. We are going to go over the budget that was announced.
Yes.
And some details with that. Very sexy. We're also going to talk about...
You really know how to sell it.
We're also going to be talking about some of the best brunch places in Etobicoke to go to, and the Hyde Park cherry blossoms are out. So we're going to try and keep this a little less wordy, a little less numbery.
We'll dive into the budget a little bit, and then we'll have a little bit more fun afterwards.
Absolutely.
So,
Dave,
another budget that's operating at a deficit. Mm-hmm. And
not really a surprise to anyone.
No, given the track record. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
What?
Some taxes are going up.
We're getting some new taxes as well, Dave. Who would have thought?
Yes.
And I don't know if anyone had a chance to fill up their car in the last couple of days, but you may have noticed that...
Everything's right with the world again.
Yes.
Diesel is now less than gasoline.
Dave has been crying for the last year, I would say, because his fuel-efficient diesel truck, car, SUV, it has been more expensive than regular gasoline. So everything's right in the world for Dave.
Yes. Yes. Some checks and balances are back.
Would have been nice if diesel had just gone down 20 cents.
So probably the number one talking point we heard over the last few days about the budget being released is the increase to capital gains. So breaking this out into, depending on if you're a corporation or a trust, basically your capital gains are going to be, it's going to go up, the portion that it's subject to is up, going up from 50% to 2/3. And if you're an individual, if it's actually over 250K, then that increase applies from 1/2 to 2/3. So when does this take place?
So this is going to take place June 25th.
Yeah.
So coming up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And basically the tax rate is going to be 26.76%, call it 27%, up to the $250,000 of capital gains for the year. And then up to, let's say, 36% for anything in excess of that $250,000. And obviously, this is going to operate very differently for people who are liquidating stocks and bonds versus people who are selling real estate.
Yeah.
Because as a lot of people have pointed out, you can kind of time those sales. You can do it in smaller chunks and get under that 250 cap for the year.
Yeah.
Whereas when you sell real estate, you sell it in one big chunk. That money comes to you. You can't hide that. So that you're going to be hit all at once with that new tax amount.
Yeah, you can't really sell off a portion of real estate.
No, you can't sell your basement.
I guess if you have land, you could, and you're severing a portion of it.
We're
splitting hairs here.
Yeah, we're talking more residential real estate.
Yeah. So what's the impact of this is going to be on, and who's this going to affect?
It's going to target the wealthy, those making more than $250,000 a year in capital gains. I think that's who they're targeting, but it is going to affect other people as well.
We've seen over the last... Let's look at the last 100 years, last 50, 60 years. People emigrated to Canada, and the ability to acquire multiple properties for
Crown land
for your average family. So say you moved to Toronto, immigrated from Europe or wherever, and you said, hey, I want to buy a second piece of property and we're going to rent it out. And that's how we're going to build wealth. There's no mortgage on that property.
Yep.
It's going to be, if you sell it, it's certainly going to be over the 250. And, you know, that might be an asset that's been in the family for maybe a second generation now. So say your growth strategy was to invest in real estate and you bought your neighbor's house came up or the house down the street came available. The family decided to purchase it and rent it out in a way to build equity. That was, it's called 60 years ago or even before that.
Yep.
It's appreciated greatly in value and we'll just deem it as the average price of a home in Toronto. So let's call it 1.1 million.
Okay.
So now if you go to sell that, it's going to be pretty expensive, right?
Yeah, because a significant portion of that home has increased in value and is going to be considered capital gains when you sell it.
Yeah.
And as we said, you can't sell off a portion of it. It's going to be one hit one time. It already was a pretty large hit for families to sell off properties like that.
I think it's going to, at a time where we need more housing, rather than be a catalyst to bring more homes like this to the market, I think it's going to have people just hold on to properties longer because they're now going to look at it and say, hey, if I need some money, I want to renovate my house or whatever we want to do, use the money for, how's the best way to do this now? It's probably going to be to actually take out a mortgage on the property I can now use the interest that I'm paying on the mortgage to offset the rent coming in, right?
Yeah.
So it just becomes a property that gets held
Perpetuity rather than potentially selling it off.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. They just continue to take equity out of it by a mortgage versus actually bringing the property up for sale and possibly giving that to somebody who's looking to enter the market for primary residence.
And I wonder how this is going to affect, probably won't be a huge effect, but on the availability of rental properties now, if people are willing to hold on to these secondary properties.
Well, it's such an interesting time with the backlog at the Landlord Tenants Board, the current...
People aren't really incentivized to lease at the moment.
No, there's not really that much incentive to be a residential landlord.
Yeah, especially if you're paying mortgage rates right now. Yeah. You're lucky in Toronto if you're in an income-producing property.
Yeah, it just depends on how much you have down the equity in it. But if you're looking to enter the market, it's extremely difficult or expensive. This is going to have an impact on, we already have a foreign buyers ban, but this is also saying, okay, well, you know, any money you do make, we're going to tax you more on. Canada becomes less desirable to invest in real estate, you know, if you are an expat living abroad. And then if you are looking to invest on the commercial side as a foreign investor. I think the numbers we saw is this could have an impact about 17% of Canadians.
About 17% of Canadians. And when you look at the numbers, it's going to affect people who have been holding a home for even just the last five to 10 years. The increase we've seen in a lot of places in Toronto is over $250,000.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's also, I think we're going to see a scramble. Let's check next week to see
how many more
income properties or investment properties come to the market with people seeking a quick closing on this so that they can try to get around this.
And I wonder if those people trying to sell before this is going to devalue some of those properties because if the market gets flooded with them.
I think it creates an opportunity for an investor who's has the ability to close quickly to maybe pick up some properties.
If you're an investor who's looking at a secondary property, maybe reach out. There might be some great deals coming up the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. What else was in the budget?
There was a new vacant residential land tax that they've proposed. Basically, they think that people are holding vacant land in Canada, Ontario, specific for us, as a speculative investment. Okay. They're trying to derail that and encourage people to develop this land. So that's potentially a new tax that people are going to see.
This is for property that's zoned residential.
Zoned residential, currently vacant. So that is going to be a new tax that's potentially, and I don't see as much pushback on that as the capital gains one. So I would imagine that's something like that is going to be coming through soon.
Yeah, we have a need for more housing. This is a slight encouragement to build more housing.
And then there's also going to be an increase to the first time home buyers, the amount that they can withdraw from their RRSP to buy their first home. So it was originally $35,000. They're going to increase that to $60,000. So you can now withdraw that without facing any kind of increased tax or taxable implications on that money. And this is, if this gets approved, it's going to apply to any withdrawals made from April 16th onwards.
Okay.
So they're backdating it.
Yeah.
They're also increasing the repayment grace period from 3 years to 5 years. So you don't have to, obviously, when you take money out of your RRSP, to use it for your first home, that money does need to be replaced in the RRSP over a certain amount of years.
We like this one.
I like it. I think it's great. I think it's going to help people. It depends if you have $60,000 in your RRSP. So if you started saving, it's definitely something that's interesting. It's going to save you on income tax. But they also want to make sure that everybody repays that amount so that you're not taking from your retirement. They want to make sure that your retirement fund is well balanced.
Yeah. I like the increase in period to repay too.
Yeah. Not having to start payments. So I think it's going to incentivize people to take a little bit more money out and put down a bigger home.
You're a first time home buyer buying a property and let's call it 500, 600K. Mm-hmm. Just having that extra time to pay it back is really nice because there's a lot of costs when you first move.
Absolutely.
Do I want to paint? Do I need new furniture? Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of TikToks and videos of people when they buy their first home and it's just people sitting in an empty house in different rooms of their house. It's quite funny.
My furniture consists of milk crates.
Yeah. Not even, it's just them lying in the bathtub with an echo.
It's amazing.
So there's obviously a ton of stuff that they've proposed, a lot of different things, a lot to go through, but those were the biggest real estate points that I pulled out.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. They still need to vote on the budget.
Yeah. And from what I've seen, conservatives are against it. NDP is still in the middle. So it's going to be, I'm curious to see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Same old, nothing new there.
Yeah.
And then Dave, you live in High Park or near High Park.
I don't actually live in the park.
Okay. You have a house near High Park.
I do.
No, Dave lives in High Park. You know, the zoo that they keep down at the bottom with the donkeys.
I did work in a zoo at one point in my life, but no longer.
Was it a mistake that they thought you like escaped a cage? Yeah.
No, I was an exhibit.
They put you on as an exhibit.
They trained me to water ski. And
yeah. What's going on at High Park? Should I go this weekend? Should I plan a nice family picnic to High Park?
This week, I recommend, it's absolutely stunning. It's beautiful to see the cherry blossoms. But if you've done it once or it's not really your thing, just avoid it.
Or maybe TTC, don't drive.
Yeah, take the subway. Cherry blossom season is here. Mm-hmm. So that means we've got a short window for High Park to be at its peak beauty point, I would say.
And peak amount of people.
It's like a Black Friday sale. Everyone's at the door trying to get in, take their photos, get their photos done.
It's funny. You spread out a nice picnic blanket. You have a nice spread. You sit down, you try and take a nice photo, and there's 50,000 people behind you.
Yeah. I love that we have such a big park so close to us. I just try to avoid it as much as possible. Just the chaos of traffic around it. Mm-hmm. And
but if you're okay with crowds and you're looking for something fun to do with the family, maybe check it out.
Yeah.
It's quite beautiful. I've personally gone. I'm sure Dave has. It's really beautiful. It does not last long. I think it's, what, 2 weeks?
I think it's less than that.
Yeah, it's a very short period of time.
I'm sure it depends on who you ask and how much they judge the peak blooming season and the most the best time to get photos and all that. So.
Yeah, and it's brunch season. Or it's getting to brunch season. The rain has been...
I didn't know about brunch season. I thought that was like a 24/7, all year round.
You're not a 30-year-old girl in Toronto because it's brunch season, baby. Mimosas, patios, breakfast after spin class. That's what we're all here for and that's what we're looking forward to.
There's two seasons. There's the fall, autumn, where I get to wear the boots and the hat.
And hide.
And then there's mimosa brunch season.
It's actually ski lodge season. And then mimosa brunch lodge season. Okay. Yeah. You go and sit around the fire and drink some drinks, usually a spiked hot chocolate.
Oh.
Around the fire. And
cocoa.
You watch people ski and snowboard. A warm cocoa. And then brunch season. You go, you grab brunch after the gym with your girlfriends and you all sit around, you get bottomless mimosas in the sun.
Okay. Yeah, any favorite brunch spots you want to shout out?
Yeah, there's a couple in Etobicoke that are really great. There's a Yellow Cup Cafe at Dundas and the East Mall, and they've got some really awesome options. Great lattes there. They do a London Fog as well, but also mimosas, which is very important when choosing your spot. And there's also Creme de la Creme, which is right down the street from us at Bloor and Royal York. Again, highly recommend that location. I haven't been to Campo personally, just up the street at Jane and Annette from us. Maybe a 10-minute walk. Maybe we should check it out next week, Dave.
Would you like, you should treat
the team to brunch and mimosas.
Would you like my shout outs?
Yeah. What are your shout outs?
So here in Bloor West Village, love Brighton's.
Okay. I haven't heard of that one.
We'll have to go to Brighton's.
Okay. That's where we're taking the team for brunch and mimosas.
Perfect. Also, just on the other side of the park, Mugshots Tavern.
Yes. I have been to Mugshots.
Their brunch is amazing.
Haven't done their brunch, but as you told me and showed me, they have the world's best fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And they also have it with a gluten-free bun.
My personal favorite is the breakfast poutine.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with a warning. You'll have to have a nap afterwards. it's pretty amazing. So
yeah. So if you're looking for things to do over the next couple of weeks, as the weather warms up, some of these places have patios as well.
Yep.
Go out, spend some time with the family or the girlfriends and
support your local businesses.
Yeah. And tag us in photos of your bottomless mimosas. Tag me anyway.
Who is the bottomless mimosas?
There's a couple places in the city. I know
there's a place downtown.
They're bottomless mimosas.
Sounds like trouble.
It's dangerous.
Just remember you have to work on Monday.
To be honest, sounds like heartburn. It sounds like heartburn.
You sound like me.
Orange juice and Prosecco, man. Oh, I love it, but that's hard. That's hard on the stomach.
No, thank you. I'll pass.
All right, Dave. So we've talked a little bit about the budget. What do you foresee happening in the next couple of weeks, next 2 months with the market? We mentioned that there might be an increase in secondary investment properties up to that June 25th period. Any other thoughts?
I think we're looking at, they said roughly 17% of Canadians are going to be affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to see that much more properties come to market. There's going to be opportunities for those that are looking at it and are liquid and can close quickly, but it's something that's going to have more of a long-term effect where when someone goes and decides, hey, do I want to liquidate this asset? Let me look at the other options. Maybe we'll just continue to lend on it and take equity out of it via mortgage.
I am curious to see also how this affects condos in higher buildings, higher end buildings, or 2 and 3 bedroom condos. Mm-hmm. If people are holding those as investments, I am curious to see. The condo market has still been lagging behind a little bit, behind the freehold market. Yeah. I am curious to see if we see some more of those go up before the refinancing time towards the end of this year, when I think it's 65 or 70% of mortgages are expected to refinance at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. Curious if the condo market is going to hurt a little because of some more incoming inventory over the next few months.
The luxury condo market's been interesting. We'll just say over $1 million to make it mm-hmm. easy. Not a whole lot of properties have been selling.
Yeah.
And I would say if there's one preference for an overseas, a foreign buyer to invest in, it's probably a luxury condo, mm-hmm. right? So that's probably felt the biggest impact of a foreign buyer ban. Also, some of them have the preference, some owners that are foreign investors have the preference to have it vacant.
Yeah.
And so now your home vacancy tax has gone up from 1% to 3%. Mm-hmm. So your carrying costs to have this are even higher. And now if you're selling after June 25th, you're going to have to pay more capital gains too.
Yeah, a lot of tax.
So it's really not as favorable to invest in that type of product if I am a foreign investor or if I am allowed to. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to start to look at other options, maybe other countries. So I
feel like we're throwing a lot in a pot and stirring it and we're just going to see what comes out.
Yeah, there's all these little things that they're doing to make it less attractive for that foreign buyer. It's still not creating new homes or enough homes.
And the foreign buyers only make up
the market.
The foreign buyers only make up what, like 7%? No, less than that. 4%?
It's less than that.
Okay.
I think it's 1 or 2% of transactions.
So we're like wiggling around a lot with this 1 to 2%, and we're not building homes for the 98%.
Well, look what we're doing over here, mm-hmm. but it's not really solving the major problem here.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to be mad at like foreign buyers that you don't know than your government or other people who are pushing the price of homes up. In your country.
I'm going to blame the faceless, nameless person in another country.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If your government starts blaming them.
Have you considered going into politics strategy?
We're not getting into this again, David. I can't stand politics.
Kate gets fired up when you bring up politics.
Too much coffee. I've got the twitch going.
Yeah, it's the coffee.
Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. Let us know what you think about the new capital gains increase.
And what's your favorite place for brunch?
Yeah, that's probably more important. Again, tag me.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.